In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Dear baptized in Christ, thus begins a strong, persistent, and increasingly acrimonious dialogue, first between Jesus and a raucous crowd of Galileans, and then between our Lord and the Jews gathered in Jerusalem during the Passover festival in John 7 and beyond. In both settings, the opposition is stiff, the unbelief is palpable, and the undercurrent desire to put Jesus to death takes form. Already the Lord Jesus has confronted his enemies after they denounced his act of healing an invalid man unable to walk in John 5. They persecuted Jesus because he had healed this man on the Sabbath, and because he was calling God his own Father, making himself equal to God. Jesus declares pointedly that as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. But to these ones who kill the prophets and stone those sent to them, who build the tombs of the prophets whom their fathers killed, Jesus has this word to say: "You do not have my Father's word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." Unbelief is the problem. Gift refusal is the tragedy at hand. The Galileans of John 6 and all the rest of Jesus' adversaries want nothing to do with a Christology from above. It's not that they misunderstand Jesus. They understand him quite clearly. Our Lord catches those who oppose him in their own ungodliness. "You are from above. You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world." This is why the Galilean crowd seeks Jesus, hungering only for food that perishes. They've resolved to set their minds on things that are on the earth, not the heavenly things that are above. So what Jesus comes to give from above, himself as true meat and drink indeed, they blatantly refuse, stout-heartedly rejecting his word. Their question to Jesus in verse 28 reveals their hearts in the matter. "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Our Lord responds, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." Jesus speaks of divine monergism. The work of God is God's work, not man's. It is God's work to grant saving faith to those who believe in his own beloved Son. But as we see, this is unacceptable to them. So they quickly turn on Jesus and they dispute his authority to do the work of God. They want the type of bread that Moses gave, reasoning that Jesus had better be a new Moses. St. John has already taught us, the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now Jesus teaches them the same, but they will not abide his words. How our Lord labors to steer them in their false belief away from earthly matters and concerns toward heavenly ones. "It was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I am the bread of life." Truly, Jesus speaks his life-giving word to a stiff-necked people, then and now. And though our common sinful nature wishes for Jesus to be the Moses of our day, satisfying our earthly cravings and desires, Christ shall never be turned into another Moses. In fact, it was not even Moses who provided the manna from heaven. This, too, was a divine act. It is none other than God the Father himself who sends his Son to us in word and sacrament. You are given Christ, dear saints of God. He is the bread of heaven, which you are to abide in all the more through theological study, which you are to consume to the fullest in his holy word and at his holy altar. This one, on whom God the Father has set his seal, you are always to speak of and preach to the people before you. And upon your ordination and installation, you have the high honor and joy of feeding them the very bread of heaven, the bread of God, the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith lives upon none other, no other. That holy, precious work of Christ, that he has for us his church, that good and glorious work which he performs through us, is to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Holy Triune God, and teaching them the faith once delivered to the saints. It won't take Methodist, Pentecostal preaching and missiology dressed up in a Lutheran veneer to feed people. With that, they'll only go malnourished and starve. Instead, the Holy Spirit calls us and all people by the gospel. He enlightens us with his gifts. He sanctifies and keeps us and all believers in Christ in the true faith, as Luther declares. God works through means, for this is his good and gracious will. He delivers his goods to us through his external word and sacrament. He graciously and faithfully and lovingly feeds you both. As it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Also, you come to the Lord's table hungering and thirsting for righteousness, and you are filled. You partake of heavenly food, come down to earth. You eat and drink of the true body and blood of Christ, that he himself feeds you. Luther reminds us our Lord is at one and the same time chef, cook, butler, host, and food. You are also baptized into Christ, clothed in him and his very righteousness. Daily, constantly, your sins are washed away. And in this sacrament, you are always declared to be child of God, the child of God, and an heir of eternal life through water and the word. So your gracious Lord Jesus has something far better for you, far, far better for you to eat and to drink of than daily manna from heaven and water from a rock. As sustentative as they formerly were, and as much as the Galileans asked for them again, only once more, your sustenance, your faith, your life is Christ. Christ and his word. Christ and his holy supper. Christ and his baptismal grace. No more Moses needed. No more manna appearing on the ground for you to partake of. It is your Lord Jesus Christ who shed his very blood that you drink and gave his very body that you drink, that you eat of. He who died for you on the cross to deliver you and to save you from having to live and to starve and to die on earthly manna and to be condemned by it. Your heavenly manna, dear saints of God, is always Jesus Christ. So let us feast this day on Christ, the bread of heaven. The word of grace has purged the old and evil leaven. Christ alone our souls will feed. He is our meat and drink indeed. Faith lives upon no other. Alleluia, as the Easter hymn declares. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen.